Today on the Messy Faith Podcast.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Messy Faith Podcast, where
life is messy,
but God already paid the maid. I'm your host, Emily Roth, and
Zetricia Passion.
And we're excited to be with you today, whether or not you're doing dishes, folding laundry on your way to work.
Smoking crack.
Hey, could
we're
be.
We're here. Hey.
Whatever you're doing, whatever you're listening, we want to take the next 30-ish, let me emphasize the ish minutes, and have some critical, comical conversations about where life meets faith and just fully admit to you that it's stinking messy.
Very.
Stinking. And messy.
It is. But God already paid the maid.
So. He already paid the maid. So
clean up on L5.
Dude, I love that. Okay, so we got something really good close to home because it's something that I've been struggling with and I believe recently been set free.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I might have to do that once a month moving forward. But that is raising godly children.
Yes.
In today's culture.
Yes.
How you do that. What it looks like, and what it looks like when it's still, you know, like a tree that's in like middle bloom, where it's not bloomed yet, but like it's like growing its things. But you're like, what is that? Mm-hmm. Do I cut that or do I let it grow? Like, kind of parenting teens is that?
Yeah.
You're like,
do I cut that or I let it grow?
Do I cut that or do I let it grow?
Yes, literally. That's funny.
So. So, Trucia, I know that you're not quite to the teens yet. You're almost. You're like 1 year away, right?
No.
You're there?
What is it, a month away?
Not a even month away.
No, like 10 days away or something.
Oh my goodness.
Authentic's birthday is on the 6th.
Okay.
So he'll be 13.
Well, welcome to teen motherhood.
Yay.
It's worse than preteen. No, just kidding. Just kidding.
It'll but I've taken care of a teen. I took care of my sister in her teenage years.
Okay.
And I was young. I was 21. And she was in high school. And she lived with me. So I went through a little bit of teenage parenting.
Gotcha.
With the less pressure probably because I didn't birth her.
Yeah.
So
true. So you didn't feel completely responsible for all those. Should I cut that or should I let it grow?
I can blame it on her parents.
Okay. So I'm just going to kind of like put my mama heart out there and then I figure you could throw your mama heart in there and then we'll talk about it.
Yes.
Okay. And for those of you that don't have teens, like or don't have kids, like you don't have to listen to this episode if you don't want. We'll look forward to hearing you next time.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can just laugh at us because I think we're pretty funny.
Or laugh with us.
Or laugh with us, yes.
Either one. Yes. We like them both.
You can laugh with Satrisa. You can laugh at me. You have my permission. Okay, so I grew up in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Went to Sunday school. Went to youth group.
Mm-hmm.
You know, led youth group.
Mm.
All that jazz. But that's back when the world was like prime time 80 style business model booming.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But we live in a day where
confusion.
Not even confusion, but just a very
confusion though.
Okay, yes, yes, total confusion, but also a more nomadic.
Yeah.
Not bad, but a more nomadic society, meaning like you can be a freelancer working at home, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, back in the 80s, everybody worked for a company or in a bigger community of things. Here, you can be working on your own remote and so it's very more isolating, it's very nomadic, and I think that has translated into like the church has a bigger fight to fight for community and what that even looks like.
Yeah. And now you can be a man and decide to be a woman and it be super socially acceptable versus back then it still was a little more like rare and still looked down upon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Versus now it's like whatever, if you want to be a butterfly, if you want to call yourself a butterfly, if you identify as a butterfly, you could be a butterfly. Now it's more anything goes, kind of.
Exactly, exactly. So in that environment, the youth culture and how they just youth group, it's changed since, I don't know, you know, in the past 25 years.
For sure.
And me being a mom who's trying to raise her children to follow the way, we like changed, you know, one of our churches dissolved back into their main one and we weren't going to drive 20 minutes or, you know, 25 minutes to a church. And so in our girls' prime time youth, we weren't at a church that had one.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was this big, and this is just all Emily right now. I felt like, am I a bad parent because I'm not like getting my kids in youth group? There's no like youth group available that I think is good, not good enough, but I don't know why. And I'm sorry, I'm just going to say this, but I don't know why. And this is completely squirrel. This is a complete squirrel.
Okay.
Why we take brand new, straight out of college.
Not Compton. Okay,
sorry. Straight out of college, and maybe not even that, youth pastors, and put them in charge of our youth.
Yeah.
When that's like one of the most important outside of our children, mm-hmm. that's one of the most important and highly developmental things. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm opposed to that. I'm just saying that, anyway, lots of things. I just think that like there might be some wisdom in putting a cool older person in there with them as well. That
I was going to say
has some life, you know, because I don't think one way's wrong or the other. I'm just saying, why don't we make like a cohort team to where you have somebody who has kids or somebody who's older and has life, you know, instead of like these two characters, like figuring it all out together.
Yeah.
It has worked marvelously for me on one end, and for other people, it has worked horrendously. Anyway, all that to say that I felt like I was being a bad mom and my kids were going to go to hell. I'm being extreme there. They weren't going to grow up to love Jesus because I couldn't find a good youth group that they got, you know, knitted into really, really good. And from my perspective, they're not having the same teen experience in church that I was. And I was feeling like a bad mom because of it. Aww. And like now they're just going to turn away from God. And then, like, I was literally, and I would have conversations with Matt. He's like, Emily, is that even your job? Like, where does your job end and the Holy Spirit's job begin?
Yeah.
He's like, what is your duty and what is God's promise? Like, woman, what are you doing? Yeah. And so I really had to sit down and just in one day, I was like, so I get a lot of things in, like, book ideas. So I have a thought or a question. I'm like, oh, this is a great book. And then I start writing it out. So I had this saying. I was like, oh, I have a great book idea. We'll call it The Nomads. And I just felt like God telling me or revealing to me, being like, Emily. He was like, did I not save this person at age 45 and completely transform their life? So like Matt's grandpa was saved when he was an adult. So his girls didn't go to church until, I mean, like, so he didn't even know Jesus up until he already had kids. And he is one of the most, like, you know, those people in your life where you just see him as like spiritual, like father figures or like people that you strive to be like or look up to.
Yeah.
But he wasn't saved till he was like married and had kids.
Yeah.
But but his influence on my husband and me and then my kids. And so I'm putting all this pressure that it has to be when they're teens. It has to be when they're teens. So they're what, you know? But no, God can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. So where do I let go of control? And where do I assert that control?
Yeah.
That's the question.
That's that's a hard balance, because I think even in having, like what your husband said, because this, okay, I'm going to go into like my little spiel of things, because then that'll make sense. I was not raised in the church. I attended church younger because I wanted to.
Yeah.
Because there was a church van that I could go to. But I was never made to go to church. It was, my family did not go to church ever growing up. My parents never came to church. And so I had a different experience. I went to church because it was fun. It was a peaceful place. Like, it was like, cool, I don't have to be at home. Like, you know, like, yeah. It was fun to go to. So I don't have those same like youth group experiences or, oh, I was raised like this, or I was made to do this, or I couldn't. I had freedom at home. I could listen to whatever music I wanted, could watch whatever show I want. You know, like, I was still living a regular teen life, but I just, oh, there's a youth group at this church that I like going to. We called it Fat Night. It was producing holy agates through teaching. Yeah.
Fat Night?
P-H-A-T. Because back then that word was popular.
Oh, I know.
So it was producing holy agates through teaching.
P-H-A-T. Pretty hot and tempting.
It's two T's, yeah. So, but I loved going to that, but I was never made. So when people say I was raised in the church, I wasn't necessarily raised in the church because I didn't have those experiences. I went because I wanted to go.
Yeah.
So in raising my children,
I always wanted to go to church, so even though I was raised in it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I wasn't made. Like, okay, it wasn't like, gotcha. If I didn't want to go, I didn't have to go. There was no, like,
got you. You still. And we do do that. Like, if they're, like, tired or just had a, like, a some sort of sports game, mm-hmm. and then, you know, on Saturday or something, we're like, and you still got to go to church on Sunday.
That's good. They should. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I was just saying, do I make? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, continue.
That's my
I'm
opinion.
Sorry.
I'm like,
sorry.
You should. Yeah.
In my opinion.
Because if this was a party, you would go.
Be for one real of the though. For real. If your friend called you up and you want to go to the movies, uh-huh. you'd be like, yep.
Yep.
So you go to church.
Energy. Yeah. So, but no. So in raising my children, I wanted them to have that youth group experience.
Yeah.
And the what I seen other people have that I didn't necessarily have. I wanted to, you know what I mean? Those kind of things. And so I was getting so caught up. I'll have to add, my heart wanted to protect them from every kind of hurt and trauma and evil. Mm-hmm. You know, experiencing certain traumas myself, I didn't want my kids to experience that.
Yeah.
And so I adopted a helicopter parent. I always say I'm a recovering helicopter parent. I adopted this, I got to protect my kids kind of mentality. Mm-hmm. And it was driving me crazy, literally. And the Holy Spirit had to come and say, and tell me the same thing that Matt was telling to you. Like, you know, I'm God. Like, I can, one, I can protect your kids better than you can.
Uh-huh.
Two, if something happens to them, I'm still a healer. I'm still this, you know, they still, yeah. like all these things he had to remind me and show me, like, you know, even if they have seasons where they stray away, he's still able to bring them back. And so that helped remove the pressure off of me of mm-hmm. like trying to create such this perfect environment so they can have this perfect life and never have to go through any,
yeah.
you know, experience the heartache that comes with sin or living outside of God. We're going to experience heartache and trial no matter what.
Yeah.
But there's an extra level at it when, you know what I mean?
When it's outside of God's, when it's outside of a God context.
Yes. Yeah. And so, I've come to that resolve, but also with the partnership of knowing that I still have a responsibility as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
So just knowing that I have a responsibility, but not
a God-given responsibility.
A God-given responsibility, but not putting the pressure on myself for perfection to where I'm stressed out or now I'm like judging myself or now I'm down on myself when it doesn't yeah. look like when they're doing things that don't look like, you know, a Christian should do. Yeah.
Should I cut that or let it bloom?
Yeah, yeah. And so that's removed the pressure, but it hasn't removed the standard though. And I know I use that word and you're always like, but it's just the perfect way because everybody has standards in their life,
yeah.
you know, of things
yeah, yeah.
they will and won't do.
Yeah.
And so in my parenting, I had to even revisit because I wasn't raised like how you were, where I could listen to any kind of thing. I could watch any, like my friends would come to my house to watch the stuff they couldn't watch at home. You know,
you were that person.
And we can look at it in the living room because nobody thinks this. My parents didn't think there was anything wrong with it. That was okay. just in their knowledge of life. They didn't think anything wrong with it. That's just not, you know, how they thought.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah. yeah.
So in raising my children, I do shield what they watch. I do, you know, like we do have there. We don't listen to any music that's not Christian music in our house because there's so many good songs out there. Like, what's the point? But they don't also feel like they're missing anything because they've never experienced it.
Yeah.
So there's nothing in them that's like
you either have to start out like that. Otherwise yeah. you're hosed. Because if you're like me with the opposite of what your parents did.
Yeah.
Then it's like, well, I let them do this from the beginning. So what can I do about it now?
Well,
I set precedent.
Yeah. I think you can change little things, but that's neither here nor there.
I know.
But, that's a whole nother podcast. But because they've grown up this way, it's what's normal to them.
Gotcha.
Outside, like hearing music that has cussing in it is not normal to them. That's like, what? Like,
yeah.
you know, because it's not normal to them, you know? And so when they start playing video games, so it might have some songs on there that it's not cuss words, but it's definitely not like Christianness. And I had to
They're
like,
really not talking about the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, they're definitely not.
That's a whole different HS.
And so I had to like, I started going in within myself and I'm like, is it really that serious? Should they like, you
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
God is gonna, you know, this and you know, that same, the fallback, which is a good fallback.
Yeah.
It's a nice fallback. But I had to say, no, God showed me that there is power in music. There's spirits in music. So just because they're going to be exposed to it outside of it doesn't mean that I now have to remove the boundary that I believe God gave me to set for them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not running in there when they're playing the game. Cut that off. You can play the game without music. You know, I'm not
yeah.
like, this overly religious parent that's like, what, your friend played that? And, you know, that can't be your friend. Like, I'm not putting it in a religious category, but the boundary for our house.
This is like our household standards. Yeah.
Yes. It's still that. Understanding that you're going to go into the world, you're going to hear stuff. You might, they were walking around singing, give me water. Oh, you probably don't know it, but it's a popular song that's out now. And there's like a dance.
Why wouldn't I know it? I'm not popular.
So you know it. No. It's a popular in hip hop.
Oh, okay.
I don't think that's your genre, right? Isn't that is it?
No, it's not.
Okay. I don't know. So, and that's not to say nothing. It's just different genres, right?
I was
just
giving you a hard time.
Yeah. I was like, there's nothing wrong with that. But they were walking around singing that. I turned around. I'm like, wait, what are you singing? They're like, oh, it was on a game, something, something. And I just like, okay. And I determined in my mind, I'm not going to make a big deal about it because they don't, one, they don't even know what the song's talking about, really.
Yeah.
But they're thinking about working out and water bottle sweat, you know, but it's talking about sex.
Oh,
you know?
And sweating.
Yeah. And so, but anyway.
Nature's natural lube.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Oh my God.
Sorry. In Jesus' name.
We went there.
Hey man, haven't gone there in like four episodes.
We've been doing good. I had a couple jokes last time and I said no. I was remembering that scripture and it said, don't let any unwholesome something come out of your
lips. This was totally wholesome though.
That one was, but the ones I was thinking, they were.
What do you think? There's multiple reasons God made sweat. One is to cool the inside of your body when you're hot. And two, it's natural lube.
Okay, anyway. I was talking about my joke that I have. But okay. So I feel like God is teaching me a healthy balance because I had a close friend growing up whose parent was very religious. Like, very, like, they couldn't wear red nail polish. They Yeah, like it was like that was a harlot's color.
The devil.
That was a harlot's color.
You know? A harlot's color. Oh,
yeah.
Geez.
And so, like,
Jesus didn't make all the colors of the rainbow.
But that was their level of revelation or whatever. And to this day, that person, that parent. Well, if I say this, then it might give into who it is. But this person played a role in my life in teaching me some godly things. So. She had some good stuff, right? But then she also was just very judgmental or, you know, in the eyes of, Lord, she might watch it. Lord, I love her. But but this person, their viewpoints were that older mentality of like certain, they had a certain standard that was so high that I don't even know if Jesus could have met their standard. You know what I mean? Because of some of the stuff they had. And so I brought that into my parenting as like, I'm not going to go this extreme, you know, but I'm not going to, because either extreme is bad, but I'm not going to be so relaxed to say, God's got them, that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That I don't have any boundaries or there's no, like, you can do whatever, you can have whatever kind of friend, you can go wherever. I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to give you a phone without a parenting thing and you're only 12, you know, without parental controls. And like, I wasn't just going to relinquish all of my responsibilities because it is my job to train them in the way that they should go.
Exactly.
And a part of that training is setting boundaries, is having conversations about certain types of friends and friendships. And, you know, I had to have that. I'll get into this and then I'll stop because I'm talking a lot. But I had to have a conversation.
Just kidding.
I had to have a conversation with my son because he got this friend. I told you about this.
Mm-hmm.
He got this friend that he met this girl and they were talking.
I was like, let's clarify. It was a girl and a friend.
And the more that she was revealing to him, it was like, red flags, red flags. My mommy thing was like, no.
Not just, yet. I'm not ready for this.
At all. Like, just all the, it was only a couple of days he talked to her. But I had the choice of, am I going to forbid him? You know, am I going to say, I forbid you to talk to her and make it this thing and that where he wants to now sneak and talk to her? Or, you know, just because her boundary, she didn't have boundaries.
Yeah.
Because of her life experiences. It doesn't change her value or who God's called her to do or if he can use her in the future. But it changes who, her access to my son.
Oh my gosh, that was so good. But it changes her access to
my son. It only changes that. But I still, like, I even told him, I said, if you can see if she wants a mentor, I'll mentor her, you know? But her being close to you and y'all developing something, nah, that's not going to work. Just because she was doing drugs and all kind of stuff. But, and for my son, that's huge because he's not exposed to that kind of stuff. But instead of like forbidding him or even like making her be the bad guy, I had to explain to him. I said, you know, the people that you allow in your life that you call your friends, they should be people who push you toward your goal. And if your goal is to live a life for Jesus, or your goal is to like wait till you're married, if your goal is to not like do drugs, then you should have people in your life that close friendships, I'm saying, because you're going to be introduced to all kind of people. But your close friendships should be people who push you in that direction. And if you get off track, they're going to challenge you and say, hey, like, this doesn't line up with who you say you are, or, you know what I mean? Where you say you want to go. But you don't want to start developing these relationships with people who have no boundaries.
Totally.
Because they're going to test yours. They're going to like, it's okay. That's not that big of a deal. And right now in the developing phase that you're in,
It's
a very big deal. And I said, it doesn't mean we judge them. We're no better than they are, but they're in their part of their journey where that's acceptable and that's okay. And that's okay for them. All we could do is pray for them. But the Bible tells us to guard our heart. And so we have to guard being emotionally attached to people who are not healthy for us right now.
Yeah.
And so when I explained that to him, and of course we went into more depths than like this, but he made the decision that he was like, I don't think it would be a good idea for me to be friends with her. And I was just like, inside, I'm like, yes, Lord. But I was so proud of him because he was able to make a hard decision because he was excited, you know, talking to a new girl. But he was able to like, you know what, this does make sense. And so he made that decision to not talk about it, talk to her, you know, anymore. And he told her so, he's such a gentleman. He told her so nice. And he didn't like say, hey, you do this so I can't be your friend. He just said, you know, I want to focus on this and this and that. And I don't know that this is good. You know, like, so it was good the way he even did it. I was like, yes, Lord.
Boy, but, got skills.
Yeah. But I wasn't just like, well, he can have any kind of friends. And God will make, if she gets him into drugs, God will make up the difference, you know.
That's true.
But so I think it's a healthy balance of not putting the pressure or being religious where we're judging our children and everybody else, but then still holding some kind of like boundary or... You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I guess I know we talk about this a lot of times, but I brought it back kind of this. It's like, what are our realms of control with our kids? Because there is not very many. Mm-hmm. And the older they get, the less you have.
Yeah.
And in teens, you still have less than you did before they were teens.
Because they can sneak. So
Exactly.
You can try.
Exactly. So honestly, like, we don't beat our children. Mm-hmm. So I it's do. Like,
I'm just saying.
Like, we know this is true, that like at a certain age, when they know that you really can't do anything to them, like you've lost a little bit of that power, but hopefully you've built up enough of a relationship.
Yes.
That your words hold the weight, not your discipline.
Yes.
And so
that is key. That is key. You have to even build that respect up with them. You have to respect them as well as they respect you, to respect your word, to want to listen.
Exactly. And so I had to reassess where my control was. Mm-hmm. And yes, they're a God-given gift to me, to Stuart. And so in the teenage years, what do I actually have control over?
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't have control over their, like when they go to youth group, what their experience is, because that's based on that in that environment. I have control over like what environment I bring them to.
Yeah.
But I have control over the environment of the house.
Mm-hmm.
We have control over like our like what it means to be a Roth.
Mm-hmm.
And as they've grown up, I guess that's our standards. So I even have standards here.
Mm-hmm.
We have standards as well.
For sure.
The number one rule: obey mom. Everybody answers to the queen.
That's funny.
That's true, but but that's biblical, right? One of the first verses we had to memorize is like, I forget where it's at, but it's obey your father and mother, for this pleases the Lord.
Uh-huh.
Right? You want to teach them, like, why do we obey our father and our mother? Because this pleases the Lord.
Uh-huh.
That's why. Ours is not because I said so, but well, because it pleases the Lord.
Yeah, we talk about the honor one, but it's not, I wouldn't say they learned that at school, but it's still something we'll talk about, like honor. Well, me, because I'll be like, you're honoring your dad, but are you honoring me? mother and father, not just father.
So we have control over the things that we say and the things that we're teaching them and then how we react to what they're choosing to do with their newfound freedom, with their newfound freedom. So we have this rule that you can't date before you're 16. There's just, there's really no need to.
Yeah.
Like, you play sports, you got school, like, get good grades and experience, have the high school experience, like, have the freedom to do that. But one of our kids, Jess, is too much like me. And so she has a boyfriend, but we don't let her date. So then Matt was, sorry, babe, if I'm telling on you, but he is like, he's like, we can't talk about this person until your birthday, you know, because that's when she's 15. So that's when she turned 16. So like whenever she's like FaceTiming him, she'll be like, do you want to say hi to this person? And Matt's like, no, not till your birthday.
Not yet.
Which is like in a few months. But he'd have a conversation with me. He's like, why are we letting this happen? And I'm like, I have to remind him at least, and I could be wrong, but this is the story I'm telling myself, people, is that one, I can't control what she does at school or who she is. So she is going to date this guy, like a school date. You know, when you're in elementary school and you're like, will you go out with me? Check yes or no. Like, that's what's happening. Like, we actually don't let her go on alone dates. Like, that's an area we can control. She can't drive yet, so we can say no. You know, like, we still have that. We still have control in that circle. So every time she asks, I'm like, no. Is there a group of you? Who's going? Right? So she doesn't go on dates, but they are together in the sense that they like each other and they hold hands at school. You know what I'm saying? But I can't control that. And so I told Matt, I was like, babe, if you tell her she can't and forbid it, she's going to do it anyway. She's going to do it anyway because she has opportunity and because she's a teenager. Like, they got like, their prefrontal cortex is like still growing and like their hormones be like raging. So like, so I accepted that she does like this guy. And so I am like seeking the relationship, but staying strong to the rule or the standard of the house by not letting her actually physically go out on a date with him till then. You understand what I'm saying? But I'm still letting her have a relationship with him. I do say hi to him when he FaceTimes, because I want him to know that I'm all in her life, you know? And we'd be like, so you're going to invite him to church, you know, because there's still a box on our, we have three boxes for our girls. And your boyfriend has got to check all these boxes. The rest, we get three, you get as many more as you want. But there's three. Love Jesus. I forget the other one. And then the other, Matt's is, has a plan. If this person don't have a plan, they don't got a plan to be with you. Right? Because, you know, we want a certain type of
have
person.
Have a good plan, because they can have a plan to rob the bank.
That's true. I'm going to tell them that. So in this sense, I'm like, she's going to do it whether I want to or not. So I'm going to keep my standard in the areas I still have control in and then keep the relationship strong in the areas where she has choice to adhere to that or not. And so, yeah, I feel
what
like
was the third one.
The third one, what?
Because you said have a plan. Love
Jesus. I know. I forgot. So I think it was treat them right.
Oh, OK.
I think it is love Jesus. I know the first and the third. The second one I always forget, though.
It's probably treat them right. That is good.
I believe that is treat them right. Sorry. He's the one that always says that. I got three boxes.
Oh, that's good.
You know?
Yeah.
And once they meet those three boxes, you're good then. The rest, you get the rest of the boxes. We get the first three.
Yeah. Dang, that my mind is going, well, what if they have this? What if that? But yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's good though. I think that's a solid three.
Yeah but, and this dude don't check all three yet.
Oh. So yeah.
So, but that's an area outside of my control.
Yeah.
So what do you do? And that's what got me. That's what I'm like, crap, is this happening because...
You block his number, you...
No.
Take you can't a phone. I'm just...
I was like, is this happening because that's what they're not involved so deeply in a youth group? You know what I'm saying? And so God's like, no. Look at what I've done in all these people's lives. So I don't come from the extreme of... I'll let them do whatever because God will fill in, you know?
You know, because you're still actively... Putting them in a youth group and taking them to church. So
exactly. I still have hope. There's no plan B. You know, local church is the hope of the world. There's no plan B. I always, you know, trying to be a part of the solution, trying to make things better. I understand that the message is always the same. Sometimes the method adjusts based on the time you live in.
Yeah.
All that type of stuff. And so it's just, as a parent, it's completely different.
Yeah.
Even though everybody goes through the same adolescent experiences,
for sure,
the environment is different. And so that can be scary sometimes.
Yeah.
So I've had to remind myself about the things that are timeless.
Yeah.
So what is timeless? God,
mm-hmm.
His love,
yeah.
His transformational power,
mm-hmm.
and His ability to know my child and how to talk to them.
For sure.
Right. So I just have to remind, these are absolute truths,
mm-hmm.
That He loves my child more than I do, like kind of like what you were saying earlier.
Yeah.
And so I can release in that. And again, I think we've said this multiple times, I always be praying.
Yeah.
Fill in where I am screwing them up.
Please, God. That is the number one prayer. My
yeah.
God, you said if I just train them up right, I'm training them up as best
yeah.
as I can.
I'm training them good, and I'm pretty sure I'm training them in some bad things too. You know?
That's, yeah, that's funny.
Where
yeah.
do you think the saying came? Do as I say, not as I do.
Uh-huh, yes.
Yeah.
No, that's
so that's the tension point is
yeah.
figuring out where you have control with your teenagers and where you don't. And where you don't is where you emphasize relationship. Build
yeah.
that relationship up and then gracefully and, you know, strong but not strict. I think strict and strong could be the same thing. And what I mean by
that.
The posture and tone in which you're saying
mm-hmm.
no in
mm-hmm.
can be strong without being strict.
My
daughter always
difference.
throws, they all tell me, you're so strict. You're the strictest parent out of all of our friends. And I was like, I am not stinking
you're not strict.
Strict
at all.
I literally have two requirements of you every day.
You are literally not
do
strict,
your home
though.
Ministries
you're
and your
good.
Homework. And literally 99% of the time, everything you ask after that is yes.
Yeah, but you know, kids are master in manipulation.
Oh
they don't.
God.
I don't know where they get it from, but they early on, it's just, I think it's something naturally in people. In humans
yeah.
that we have to work out as we, you know, become an adult and get older. But they're naturally, they're like, the only one.
I know. I'm like,
don't
be
really?
Throwing those everythings at me.
You really?
Yeah.
It's not true.
So what I mean is, so strict, it's very clear what that means.
Mm-hmm.
What are you, strict is like unmoving,
mm-hmm.
right? They're strict. It's like literally restricted.
Yeah.
Strict.
Mm-hmm.
Strong. Strong.
Mm-hmm.
You can be strong, but
yeah.
still move, but you're in control and you're strong.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying
there's
is
some, yeah, I'm evaluating myself. I'm like, there's certain things that are strict, but then there's other things that are strong.
So I'm using the word in the context of the tone of your voice.
Oh yeah.
And the posture of your heart.
Okay. Yes.
Towards them
mm-hmm.
is not strict, but it is strong in the convictions and what it means
firm.
To be.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
For sure.
Because strict is kind of that like
I don't even want to hear your side or your point. Do what I say.
It's
I
a little
said
more
it.
Military. It's
yeah.
a little more dictatorship.
Do what I say because
I feel
I
like
said so.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Which, you know, is an easy default of parents.
Yeah.
But this is me just trying to be cool, you know. So how mm-mm. could we still do that, but do it in a way that elevates relationship with our kids? So you're still saying the no, but
mm-hmm.
you're doing it in a posture and a tone that's still loving.
I think giving the one respect, of course, like how you're saying it, like you're not, you don't want to insult your kids. Like,
yeah.
Why would you want to do that? Oh, you're just so this, you know what I mean? Like
yeah, yeah.
not throwing what they're desiring to do or whatever, painting a picture that because they want to do this, they're this, or if they do this, that makes them
yeah.
horrible. You
yeah.
know what I mean? Like, oh, you just want to go be a hoe. You know? Like, dang, no, I just want a boyfriend. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's one way.
Having a boyfriend leads to being a hoe.
Uh-huh. So you want to be a hoe. That's what you're telling me. That's how some parents, that's how my parents would have been. My parents was extreme like that. If you have sex, you're going to get AIDS and die. Like, wait, what? Or you're going to have a baby at 16. What? My friends don't. What about condoms and birth control?
Yeah. Like, there's fallacy in what you're preaching to me.
Uh-huh.
Hey, that rhymed.
Yeah, that is.
It's a fallacy in what you're preaching to me. Check it, check it.
But no, I think that, and then with my kids, I try to, sometimes I could talk a lot, but I try to explain the why. There's sometimes.
Me too.
Yeah. And sometimes, I mean, they just be like, okay. I had to tell one of my sons, he was like, and you just go on and on and on. And I said, you know what? That's my job as a parent. I said, because.
To go on and on and on.
It's to go on and on and on because some of those seeds are going to stick. Some of them are. Some of them, without you even knowing, they're going to stick. So sorry, son, but I'm going to have to go on and on and on.
Plus, I'm teaching you patience.
Yes. But I've heard. Like
your
them.
high school math teacher will thank me when you can actually sit through a whole class.
For sure. But I've heard my children say things that I've said to them, you know, in my little lectures. to other people or to me about a situation, and I'm like, they're listening, although they don't want to. Something's getting in. But the relationship with, I'll use my oldest as an example. He comes to me and he's like, what do I text her? You know, or he's like, look, let me show you this. Like, there's no awkward, I got to hide this because my mom's going to judge
me.
Because even when I tell him something isn't a good idea, I don't do it from a place of judgment. I'm like, I'm not like, what? Even though sometimes inside I'm like, what? On the inside. But on the outside, I'm just like, huh, interesting. Or I'm like, why did they do that? Or why this, you know? And then he starts talking. Then I always try to lead with questions. So then he starts talking. I'm like, And I'm like, well, wouldn't it make sense for this, this, and that? And then he's like, well, I don't think you thought about that because this and that. So I make it more of a like non-judgmental conversation versus you shouldn't do this. You better not do this. This is why you shouldn't do this. I like ask him questions to see where his mind is at.
I believe that's like called coaching.
Yeah, I guess I coach him. I coach my children. So I'm always like, why? You know, just little things. Whenever there's any pushbacks, I'm always like, well, why? Help me understand. Because a part of young people, they want to just be understood. They want to be heard and they want to be understood.
Yeah.
Now, they could be completely wrong, but when you give them an opportunity to express how they feel heard. Even if after what they explain, you still say, well, I don't really think that's a good idea. They still feel like they got whatever off their chest or they got to express themselves,
Toads my goats.
So don't cut them off and just say, because it's not a good idea or what? You know, like listen to them, hear them out. Even if what they're saying is blah, 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 blah. Just sit there with the like a, but I'm about to say no. You know, at least pretend if you got to pretend, but show them what you would want. You want to be heard.
Yeah. And if you can't do that, just think to a time where, you were doing something you shouldn't have been doing. Give them grace. Well, because I was going to say, that's kind of like you presenting them and asking these questions and like not labeling their thoughts and not labeling like what their questions or what they're wanting to do or what they're thinking about doing. It kind of mirrors a lot of what the Bible says Jesus is to us, how he has unconditional love and how even while we were still sinners, he died for us. And so it's almost like I fully believe that what you just described was like gospel parenting.
Praise God.
You know what I'm saying?
Praise him.
So it's not only like emotionally healthy, because any decision that somebody comes to, if they got there on their own, it's going to be a deeper, it's going to be a deeper thing in their brain, a deeper pathway in their brain, because they had to think about it. They went through all the cognitive understanding, processed it, then made a decision. They were involved in it. And because of your relationship, you got to be involved in it conversationally as well.
Yes.
Right? But if you just told him, you're not going to talk to this girl because we don't talk to people like this, then he would have, being a good kid, okay, mom, but he would have missed on the compassion for this person, playing out what it would look like to be friends with somebody like this, all the energy and the things that he might miss out on now in this phase of life if he let this type of person in. So he, it's just like reading a book. You can live vicariously through books. You know that the studies show that somebody who reads a book actually in their mind, it's like you're physically, biologically experiencing what you're reading. That's why books are so powerful. Right. So when you do this questioning and coaching thing, it's letting them live out for a moment these choices.
Yeah. The consequences and, or the benefits.
Exactly. Yeah. And then he makes his choice and then it's his and he owns it. And now he has a sense of identity in the type of person he wants to be.
That's so true. That's so funny because that's so true.
Yeah. That's how so good job for you. Oh, yeah, gospel parenting.
Praise God. I'm trying out here.
Hallelujah.
I'm trying.
So we just want to say that we are in the teenage mess with you.
Yeah.
God is big, powerful. And I just want to let you guys know that he put your children in this time, in this place, in this space in the world. And so their call, their purpose, everything that he has for them is perfect.
Yeah.
And we know that because he's a good father and he doesn't do anything by accident.
Yeah.
And so rest in that. And rest that he can get anybody he wants at any time he wants. So only do the things that you can that are in your realm of control as a parent.
Yeah.
And seriously assess where that is.
Yeah.
What can you control and what can you not? And where you can't, you build that relationship strong.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's about it.
Yeah. And treat people how you want to be treated.
Oh, come on. That's a golden rule. Yeah. Treat your kid how you would want to be treated too.
Yes. Yep.
You want somebody barking at you?
Yeah.
I know. Seriously, I should bark less. Anyway. Anyway, alrighty. We love you guys.
Love you.
We're here with you. If you have any questions or you have any, you know, things you want to talk, just leave them in the comment. We'll get back to you.
Yay.
Until next week.
Hey, it's Emily here. I just wanted to thank you on behalf of Satricia and I for listening to the Messy Faith podcast and allowing us to speak into your life. And hey, we don't want it just one way. We would love to hear from you. You can contact us at any time through our website, our email at ask@messyfaith.com. You can like us on Facebook, YouTube, or wherever you listen to us at. And hey, we'd love a little review. Can't wait to hear from you.